Amen. Today we're in 1 Peter 1, verses 8 to 12. 1 Peter 1, 8 to 12. Peter, as we have read so far, has been teaching on hope, that living hope we as Christians have in Jesus Christ. We have hope. He's been teaching on trials, present trials. And he talks a lot about trials and testings for the believer. And simply because we are believers, we go through trials. And he teaches, as we went over last week, even in the trials, we can rejoice and have victory. We can rejoice in the Lord no matter what we're going through. We don't have to go through it in a miserable state because of the great inheritance we have in Jesus, in our life with him. We keep our eyes on him. We will be with him in all of eternity. Now, we pick it up in verse 8 when he's speaking of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though not see him, you do not see him yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Even though you have not seen him, I don't know if anybody here has personally seen Jesus, but I don't think we have. Even though you haven't seen him, you love him. And I think we always say we love Jesus. Isn't that amazing? We've never seen him. And we love him. Because we have faith in God's word. We believe and we have hope in God. The Holy Spirit who dwells in the believer testifies of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit makes Jesus real to us. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We have this joy. And we know Jesus because the Spirit has taught us about Jesus. And we believe what we have read. When we gave our life to Jesus Christ, he became our Lord and Savior. And we fell in love with Jesus. Probably before you knew of him, but you weren't in love with him. Now we're in love with him. I love him because he first loved me. Jesus saved me, and I owe everything to him. I read, I studied, I learned, and I received God's love, and I love God and Jesus. But my love for him is not based on me seeing him. I have not seen him, but he is real to me. I don't know if you ever thought about that. We haven't seen him, but we're in love with him. I'm a believer, a follower. I have a relationship with the Lord, with Jesus, real relationship, a spiritual relationship. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Do we? Well, we can. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because, here it is, the love of God, our love for him, and his love for us has been poured out in our hearts. How? By the Holy Spirit who was given to us. By the Holy Spirit, we have this love of God because the Holy Spirit indwells us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The love of God poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit once we're born again. That's how you fell in love with Jesus. If you just have religion, not born again, no Holy Spirit, probably not in love. But if born again, yes, you're in love with Jesus. That's why people that aren't born again can challenge God, not live like they love God. We're born again. And being a Christian is being in love with Jesus. So back to our text, though we haven't seen him, verse 8, though we haven't seen him, you love him. And you love him now. Though now you do not see him, even now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy, inexpressible, because we believe, and full of glory. Never saw him, don't see him now, yet believing, we rejoice with joy, inexpressible, because we live by faith. We trust in God. We believe, though not seeing physically. We can have great joy. Joy inexpressible means I can't explain that joy. Do you ever just think about the Lord and just say, oh, God. You can't even speak. Say, how wonderful. Glory. You're just in love with God. This great relationship with Christ. But if a person doesn't have faith, they will live in doubt and discouragement and lack true joy. Now, the good news with Jesus is sight is not required. That's the good news about our faith. Sight is not required. We know him and we love him. Jesus said in John 20, verse 29, Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Why did he say that? Because if you haven't seen and believed, you're going to be blessed. Because you have faith and you truly believe. It's not based on sight. And we just listen to the Holy Spirit. People may say, how can I love someone I don't see or know personally? Well, they do that on the internet now. And even when they see a person, it's probably not that person. There's all kinds of ways, pen pals, all kinds of ways people have fallen in love, even on this earth. And then Christians might say, well, how can I rejoice in something not seen? Speaking of what Peter just spoke about, the promises, the inheritance, the blessings, heaven, paradise, new body, all those things we studied of that are yet to come. How can I rejoice in something that I can't see? We hear about it, but I don't see it. You know, how can I get excited about things that await me? I'm living in the here and now. Well, number one, how can I love someone I don't see or know personally? Well, if you give your life to Jesus in response to God's calling, you hear the gospel and receive it, they will fall in love with Jesus because the Holy Spirit will testify that. Then as they read the word, fellowship, communion with God, you fall deeper in love with Jesus. You get to know him that way. And to answer the second question, how can I rejoice? Now, I'm a Christian. Now, how can I rejoice in something not seen? The promises of the inheritance that I have. We're so caught up with this world. How can I rejoice in that when I'm going through trouble? If one, by faith, believes, you know, we read in Romans, it's by faith we have this hope. If one truly believes all the scriptures, all the blessings, the promises of God, and knows that all these things are a reality, having a reservation in heaven, getting a new body, inheriting all things, living this wonderful life, no more suffering, no more pain. How can I rejoice? Because I believe those things, I know they are a reality, and I focus on that and not on this world. I know I'm just moving from here to there. This is temporary. And I was thinking about this the other day and reading about this. In life, even in life, a person can enjoy something in the future. Even though you're going through pain today, a person can enjoy something in the future. If they have faith, that it's going to happen. It is a reality to them before it even happens, because they have faith. It's, you know, in all things, it's the journey getting there that you experience. Getting there, it's sort of, well, it's all over now, but it's getting there is where you live life. Now, like a vacation that you're going on, you've got it all booked. Maybe you've never been there before. All the plans, you've heard about it. You believe it, what you've heard, and you are excited about going, aren't you? You're rejoicing. You're going telling everybody where you're going. You haven't seen it. How can you do that? Because you believe it. You tell the kids, we're going to Disneyland tomorrow or next week. They get excited. Now, why? Because it's still in the future, but you believe it. Say you've never been there before. You've heard about it. People have told you about it, and you believe it. And you might even be sick, but you're thinking, I'm going there. And I'm going to have one good day, forgetting everything else, going to get there, and it's going to be great. Or you're going to receive this inheritance when you're at such and such an age. $100 million. But it's going to be, let's make it $200 million, more excited. $200 million, but it's not going to happen until this day comes. You're excited and you're living like you're there. And the things you're going through each day don't seem to matter. Why? Because you believe it. Why is it so hard for us as Christians to get just excited as our inheritance? We say we believe it. See how he can say rejoice even though you're going through trials? Because you know a better day is coming. But we must really believe it. We have lots of things we get excited over in the future and things we might have never seen. But we know they're a reality and it gets you through the day. That's the way we need to live our spiritual life. I have faith. I love Jesus. I rejoice now. Some people lose their first love. Or not lose, left. In Revelation 2, verse 4 and 5. And they don't have that love burning and that faith going. Well, Jesus said, remember, repent, and return. If ever you're in that place, just get before the Lord and say, hey, I want back there. Where I believe it all, and I'm excited, and forgive me, Lord. So when he's talking about, you know, we're tested by fire, you can greatly rejoice in verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. You can still rejoice because you're going to somewhere better than Disneyland. People that were believers that died, you're going to see them again. But you see, do we really believe it? Or are we so caught up in this world that this becomes more important? Verse 9 in our text. Having not seen, verse 8, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving, what's the end of what we have? Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We, our future reward, where we're going to be, is the salvation of our souls. When we leave here, we go to be present with the Lord, our soul. Our new bodies will take place later on, but it's the saving of our soul. The non-material part of us, the real you, is not the outside. This is the material part. We go to be with the Lord, the salvation of our soul, and then we get a new body. We can rejoice in that. We can rejoice here, and salvation is our reward, our crown, our trophy, our glory in heaven, all because we're saved. We have hope for the present and hope for the future. But we need to be just like that little kid that's so excited about going somewhere where we know we're going somewhere. And we have this all. And it's going to be wonderful. When we all meet in heaven, maybe we'll pass each other on one street of gold and we'll say, remember we were talking about this? Isn't it great? Why did we ever get so concerned about this life? We have to keep our eyes on the Lord. That's why Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. Not rejoice in the circumstances. You can't. There's grievous circumstances. We all suffer. Jesus suffered. We must keep our eyes on the Lord. It's good to love the Lord. We will have joy if Jesus is the joy of our life. We will have joy if Jesus is the joy of our life. If the joy of our life is something else, the material things here, we're not going to have any lasting joy. It's going to change. We will not be able to rejoice always. Jesus never fails. He saved us. He must be our joy. What is better than being saved? He says in verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What is better than being saved? What is better sharing it with someone other than the fact I'm saved? They may come up to you and share about all they have. Just got a new this and a new that. And a great job and more money than I can ever spend in a lifetime. And all of this and all of that. And I'm feeling great. Is that better than being saved? We're saved. We've got a great inheritance, a great life. Verse 10. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Of this salvation, the prophets of old spoke of the Messiah, of grace that would come to our time in history. The Old Testament prophets studied diligently. Remember, even Abraham, remember he said, speaking of the nation God was going to form, in you all the people of the earth will be blessed. And throughout Scripture we see prophecies. We just went over that Sunday, Isaiah, prophecy of the Messiah. They studied diligently and they sought to understand it. It's probably difficult for them. They didn't have what we have today. Of the salvation, the prophets have inquired and they searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, of being blessed by God. They searching what the Spirit of Christ within him was talking about. Verse 11, searching what or what manner of time, you know, what it was and what, when it would happen. The Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, which we read in Isaiah, and the glories that would follow. It was the Spirit of Christ existing even then in the Old Testament. It tells us that right here. That was guiding these people to write things and to search diligently and to study. And they sought to understand it. They didn't really understand the church age. They knew there'd be an age, but they didn't understand the church, where Jew and Gentile would be accepted in. It was a mystery. A thing previously unknown. But they studied and they sought to understand it. And they were searching what the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about. They knew the Messiah would come. They knew something was going to happen. The suffering of Christ. The time for the Messiah to come. They were searching that. And the Bible spoke of the Messiah reigning and the Messiah suffering. That was difficult for them to understand. But they were in complete obedience to the Lord. The Lord anointed them. That Spirit of Christ was in them, and they wrote these things. Like I said, Isaiah 53, which we read Sunday, how he took care of our iniquities and our sin. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. You know, it's written here in the Old Testament. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, Jesus, And a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, and might. The spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be in the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. And it talks about the wolf lying down with the lamb and the way it'll be here. They spoke of that. Psalm 22, a psalm of the cross, if you read that. Psalm 45, verses 1 to 7, the Messiah reigning was spoken of. It tells us these were in here, but they didn't quite understand it. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. And we know what Daniel prophesied of. Daniel chapter 12, verse 8. And although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? He didn't know when or what this was all about, even though he was prophesying. But it was the Spirit of Christ within these prophets and people sharing things that would come. What's interesting about God's Word, the Bible, it's all about the same thing, isn't it? It's all about the same thing, God redeeming man. And that's through Jesus Christ. They didn't understand, but yet in Zechariah, it spoke of the two comings of the Messiah, the sorrowful part and the reigning part, in one verse. Let's turn to Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 and 10. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey. That speaks of his first coming. One verse. Another verse. The second, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Going to come and reign to the ends of the earth. Isn't that interesting how that was spoken of? We are so blessed to be in this church age, aren't we? Man, we have benefits to look back. Prophecies fulfilled. We have the benefit of the cross and the crown. We know about those two events. They're behind us. Glory in the future. But in between the cross and the crown, where we get to be there, is this age of grace. I read, what the prophets saw is the two mountain peaks. Not this church age. They saw suffering of the Messiah and the reigning of the Messiah. They saw Calvary where he died, and they saw Mount Olivet where he's going to return. That's all they knew. They didn't understand all the rest. But they knew there was something. And it's this church age, the age of grace. They didn't see this valley of time in between, this age of grace. But they spoke of things they knew, they searched. Verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, is revealed for us. They were ministering the things which now have been reported to you. They're talking about grace, what we now have, and the people he was talking to, which now have reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit this is an interesting thing. Sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, for our benefit, but to us, they were ministering to things, and we go back and quote them and all that ministers to us today, which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel. At this time, they were experiencing this age of grace and preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, same Holy Spirit that spoke through the prophets, who was sent from heaven. But then it says, things which angels desire to look into. When we read the Bible, angels are involved in a lot. Messengers, doing certain things, you know. They were writing these things for us, but not for themselves, that it would be preached to us. The same Holy Spirit spoke to them. And then the Holy Spirit now teaches us. But angels, it tells us, are very interested in these things. They desire to look into them. You know how the Bible says they rejoice when one sinner repents? When you read about the angels here, they apparently know what's going on. And even here it tells us things which the angels desire to look into. I wonder what's going on up there in heaven. If they ask questions or what, or just in awe, wow, look what's happening. What did they think when the Messiah was being crucified, huh? Wow. Angels. So this tells me that angels are watching what's going on here. And of course, the angels talk, the Bible talks about the angels watching over us, ministering servants. They are interested in what's going on in the church. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, Paul writes, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, this mystery now is made known by the church, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. It was being made known to them in the heavenly places, the angels and all, what's going on. You know, how this grace works and what's going on. In other words, God is educating angels as he deals with the church. They're learning. We're not only learning here, they're learning firsthand. The angels. I wonder if they watch and see us or earth down here and say, why don't they really go for it and believe it and preach it? If they only knew. Wouldn't that be awesome if we could get a glimpse of heaven even for just a minute? But then it wouldn't be faith, would it? You see, God says you must come by faith. But if we could just see this, they're probably saying, why in the world don't they believe? Don't they know what's going on? And they're probably saying, how wise is God? Look how he's working all this out. How great he is. So, people get to know each other, even without seeing each other, through different means. It's just being educated and believing what we know. So angels are interested in this. We ought to be really interested in the things we have. We need to get to know God, and we do that through the Holy Spirit, through reading his word, through study, through praying, and just fellowshipping with God. You know, this is God's love letter to us. We need to treat it that way. Oh, what does he have to say to me today? And this is God's plan of salvation. But Peter covers today how we can rejoice, even in the fiery trials, because by faith, we believe that all that is real And we should really be excited about getting there one day and inheriting all of this. Don't let this world get you down. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for revealing our future. We thank you that you saved us, Lord. There is nothing more precious than our salvation. We have everything in you. I pray, Lord, that you would keep us in that place of you being first in our life at all times. We pray the world, the flesh, the devil would not get a hold of us. Lord, we just want to be in that beautiful fellowship with you, focusing, trusting in the things we read about and know. Even though we don't see them, they're a reality. We can't even imagine how wonderful our lives are going to be. But Lord, don't let the enemy get in and get our focus on this life. We go through many trials, many hurts, much grief. Don't let that cool us off, water us down, or separate us from you. We love you, Lord. We know you love us. Help us to listen to the Holy Spirit and not to ourselves. Our hope is in you. And even while we're here, you're the God of all miracles. You can work anything out. We have God on our side. Who can be against us? Let us remember that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.